Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
We welcome back University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good to see you, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome as our special guest, Rhode Island's newly inaugurated Secretary of State, Nelly Gorbea. Thank you for joining us, Madam Secretary.
Good morning, and thank you.
There's been a lot of news about lobbying in Rhode Island over the past year, some of it involving former Attorney General Patrick Lynch. Your predecessor as Secretary of State, Ralph Mollis, ruled that Lynch was not engaging in lobbying when he represented corporate clients. Do you agree with that?
You know, there's been a lot of concerns shared about that particular case and lobbying in general. And I share people's concerns, you know, whether, you know, we have a system that definitely needs simplifying, needs clarification, and we need to make sure that there aren't any loopholes. So that's a lot of the time that I'm spending in these first few weeks is listening to people, good government groups, listening to lobbyists who are very upset about, you know, their own professions being demonized because they're doing it the right way. They're reporting, they're being upfront. And in and of itself, lobbying is part of this system. You should
be
able to.
You really didn't answer my question, let me ask you, what is your elevator pitch on how you are going to fix the lobbying system in Rhode Island?
So I am right now listening to the various stakeholders. We're going to look at the rules and the regulations. We're going to look at the statutes and come up with a plan that really reforms and addresses lobbying reporting here in the state.
How so?
Well, you have to make sure that it's simple. For example, right now we have executive branch lobbying and legislative lobbying. And so, you know, lobbying is lobbying. And in fact, a number of people have said to me, why don't we just call it lobbying and then have one reporting system? It'll be a lot simpler. People will know what to do. Those are the kinds of things that I think we need to take a step back and look at. You know, sometimes systems develop over time and things are added on and they seem good at the time. But now it's been, you know, a decade or two and situations are different. So, and we have technology too that helps us with transparency. We absolutely need to make sure that people can see who is lobbying the government, who's being paid to lobby the government, and what are those forces that are influencing our decision makers?
Scott, the fine for being an unregistered lobbyist is just a scintilla of what lobbyists can make representing clients. So is that part of the problem? Does there need to be greater fines for unregistered lobbying?
Well, a $2,000 top fine for somebody who's billing $300,000 or $400,000, even $500,000 per legislative session seems to be ridiculous. That's like less than a slap on the wrist. It's like, Madam Secretary, it's like me buying you a coffee if I do something wrong.
Definitely. I think fines are definitely part of what we have to look at. You know, right now, if you're found to be having lobbied and not reported and then go ahead and file your paperwork, you're not even fined. So there's a lot that we have to look at with regards to not just the fines, but how we go about getting that information.
Maureen, what do you think should be done to improve the lobbying approach in Rhode Island?
Well, I agree with Madam Secretary. I think the fact is, first, you have to look at it. My concern comes from the other end in the sense that, like, if the bishop comes up and, you know, has a pitch for a bill or something like that, how do you distinguish in terms of people that are coming up that have legitimate concerns that are not technically in that lobbying field? We want to keep it open. We want people to be able to have access to their legislators. How do you balance that?
Well, you absolutely want to make sure that we have an engaged citizenry. And the difference here is, what am I testifying as an individual that I'm advocating for myself because that's my opinion versus what somebody else is either paying me to do or I'm representing a group of other people? That's where you start triggering lobbying statutes, if you will.
We'll go with a few more questions for our guest, Secretary of State Nelly Gorbea. You said that you wanted to increase voting participation as Secretary of State. So fill out your vision. How will Rhode Island's next election be different as a result of what you plan to do to try and encourage more people to vote?
Well, we're just starting those conversations right now, but it is very clear that we really need a new election system. Our machines are over 20 years old, and this is a great moment at which to look at not just voting machines, but what other changes we can have in the system. For example, could we have electronic poll books? That would change how we're able to administer, for example, registrations. We could do same-day voter registrations if we had electronic poll books. So there's a number of features like that that we want to look at that have developed over the last 10 years. and hopefully implement it. I don't know if we'll be able to get it all together by the next, you know, in the next 2 years, which is when the next big election is going to be happening, but I would hope so.
Let's go to Scott.
When are you going to file legislation to get rid of voter ID, as you talked about during the campaign?
So I actually did not say that I would file legislation. I would support the repeal. And I said that I would absolutely look into the impact of it. And so that's one of the things that we're starting to look at in the second week of this administration is who could we possibly partner with that would be interested in looking at the impact. Is this really causing an issue? You know, we had a 5% depressed turnout in the last election. Is that at all due to that? You need to run some pretty, you know, substantial analyses to make sure that you're on the right track. Having said that, I did make a commitment to making sure that everyone who's eligible can and does vote. And I will, you know, during the time that I'm secretary and that law is on the books, make it absolutely as easy as you can to do that. So we're going to go ahead and do the photo IDs at different places and locations. And in the meantime, try to see how we can provide the data that shows that this has been a problem.
Let's go to Maureen.
My recollection was that you said that you were going to repeal this and you were going to vote for, you were going to support a repeal. But in any case, let's just go on that. We see now, after this election, there seems to be problems, or at least anecdotally, with mail ballots. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do about that?
So mail ballots are definitely an area that we're going to be looking at as well. I know there's a number of legislators that are looking at, and it's really an issue of who is handling those ballots. We want to make it easier for people to obtain ballots and issue their right to vote. So I don't think that you want to necessarily restrict absentee ballots. But who's handling those ballots definitely has to be looked at. And at the same time, you have to look at people who may not have relatives or what we would call shut-ins. So make sure that we're not abridging their rights. But I think overall, that's definitely an area. And I know that there are several legislators that are looking at that possibility.
President Obama offered an upbeat message in his sixth State of the Union message this week. He pointed to positive economic indicators and new steps to help the middle class. Critics said he didn't acknowledge many of the problems the nation is facing. Nelly Gorbea, you're a partisan Democrat. What did you think?
I love the speech. I thought it was fantastic. But you know what I really loved about it was the fact that Rhode Island was an example of leadership in that speech. On the paid family leave that we passed, we're a leader in the country, and the president was, it's one of his priorities, and we're already ahead of the game on that one. And the shout out to Larry Merlo and CVS being a place that, you know, really does a great job with their employees by providing educational benefits and training opportunities. I think that that's really a wonderful thing. It's usually we hear that Rhode Island's at the bottom. Here we are at the top in a national speech.
How about you, Maureen?
I thought it was really good, and I'm not a partisan, but I thought it hit all the right notes. As I said before, he has changed the whole definition of a lame duck. I think it was positively, not aggressive, but he was very forceful. I mean, John Boehner looked like he was sitting on a tack, and I think he won the day with this one. And I think he will get what he wants in that they're not going to be able to undermine immigration reform and the Affordable Care Act.
Scott, how do you see the outlook for President Obama to get stuff done over the latter part of his last term with the Republican Congress?
I don't see any part of his progressive tax policies going through. I think all you need to know about the Republicans is what Speaker Boehner did. I couldn't believe that the day after this speech, he decided the House Republicans will have their own foreign policy. And he invites Netanyahu to speak to a joint session. Now, if Nancy Pelosi ever did that to George W. Bush, Fox News would be throwing fireworks all over the Capitol.
I think that was a huge mistake, and I think it's going to come home to roost to the GOP.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Roundtable. Scott?
Thank you.
Maureen?
Thank you.
And Secretary of State Nelly Gorbea?
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.